You think this eases your fears about his chances in the world and how that might reflect on you. But here's the irony. If he did know, and he was able to carefully explain his well-thought-out reason for hitting his little brother or skipping school, your fears wouldn't be eased, they'd be justified. If your son could intellectually recall his reasoning behind his choice to neglect his homework and then lie about it, you wouldn't be less scared, you'd be more fearful than ever. Before, I feared in my most anxious moments that he might be a delinquent. Now I know for sure. Either way, asking why has no fruitful end. At the very least, it puts your child on the defensive because you're asking him to give just that, a defense. Number 6, let them struggle. Always answering your child's questions or constantly telling your child what to do to solve a problem is denying that child the chance to develop his own skills of discovery and innovation. "Mom, I can't do this," has an uncanny ability to stir up our anxious need to fix the problem. But if you rush to answer, then you deny them the space needed to figure out things for themselves. Letting them struggle might look like this. "You can't? Man, that stinks. What have you tried so far?" After their response, ask them, "So what are you going to do about it?" The more you can calm your anxiety while watching them struggle, the more you'll be amazed at their growth and your own. Number 7, allow your kids to disagree with you and learn to respect their arguments. This is incredibly difficult for anxious parents, but allowing and even encouraging your child to disagree with you creates a profound mutual respect in the parent-child relationship. Questions like, "This is what I think, what do you think?" show a remarkable respect for your child as a separate individual. As you become more and more scream-free, you can actually learn to learn from your child. Choosing not to "yes, but" your child's every point, but actually validating her thought process and her importance in the relationship. Number 8, rarely look your kids in the eye when talking with them. I know this sounds absurd and even heretical. Eye-to-eye conversations are incredibly intimate, however, and bring about high levels of vulnerability. Thus, these types of conversations lend themselves to patterns of intimidation and defensiveness. Yes, there are times, sweet and nurturing as well as stern and serious, when it is very helpful to address eye to eye. But these times are rare. Use them sparingly. If your goal is to allow your child to explore her space and share that process with you, then engage in a common activity that takes your eyes off each other while keeping you connected. Go on a walk or a drive. Build Lego projects. Play a game. Skip rocks. Throw the baseball, go shopping, whatever. Not only does this common activity disarm you, both from a defensive or aggressive posture, it also, most important, gives you the adequate space to remain calm, yet connected. And if you haven't guessed by now, that's the main point to giving your child space. It makes it easier for you to remain scream-free. Becoming scream-free helps you create space, and creating space helps you become scream-free. Beautiful, isn't it? And believe it or not, you're already on your way. Reflection questions on Chapter 5. Number 1, how much privacy do your children have a right to? Number 2, what's the hardest part about extending more and more space to your child? Number 3, has your child ever marked anything, a book or a door, as private, keep out? Have they ever pulled away from you when you've tried to embrace or kiss them? What has been your reaction? Number 4, what are your deepest fears about extending your child too much space? Number 5, how much freedom does your child have to hate you, disagree with you, express anger toward you and your decisions?